Coming to you live from the top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52, deep in the heart of the Amazon River Basin. This is Pastor Mike, and I am online, and I am live with you today. And I'm glad I just woke up in time to turn the broadcast on. I'm sitting here like I did. I posted the picture on Facebook and watching my community here a while back. I'm like this. I just got done recording. I quit at an hour and 45 minutes. I quit recording the Watchman broadcast at an hour and 45 minutes. I figured that was enough. I had plenty left to go. It has already turned into a two-part series. It may be three parts. I don't know. We'll see what goes on. But anyway, so, and I just came in here. I told everybody, I said, I'm going to go up here and sit and relax a while. And I just woke up. So like this. And I just woke up in time. Good to be here with you today. Gary hands me some pieces of paper with writing on it. And he comes rushing into my office. And he says, you got to deal with this. One of them I threw away. I'm going, I'm not going to talk about that. Anyway, this is, I heard a joke when I was a boy. These two boys were talking, and they were talking about being in school. And one of the boys says, man, I wish I lived like 500 years ago. Another boy said, how come? He said, so there's not as much history to know. And so I thought, well, you know, that's not a bad idea. But now I'm wishing, I was growing up today. This is from Los Angeles, CBSLocal.com. The Los Angeles Unified School District looks to raise the bar for graduating students. Here's how they're going to raise the bar. To help students meet the tougher new standards, the district is shrinking the graduation requirement from 230 to 170 units. So in other words, we're raising the bar, but we're going to actually build you a staircase so you can get over it easier. And then he saw that. I've seen this on bumper stickers. I don't know how many times. Have you seen these? Live in peace and harmony. All these nice little religious symbols on there. I see those. There is a school teacher that lives somewhere out by where I live. I see her headed to the school in the morning, and she's got one of those coexist bumper stickers. I'm betting she's not a King James only Bible believing Christian. That's what I'm betting on, and I'm not a betting man, but that's what I'm betting on. I got a couple things I want to deal with here. One of them is the other side of the story. Where is it? Let's see here. I talked last Tuesday about the pigs. You remember the pig murderer up in, what was it, up in Minnesota, Michigan, or somewhere, the pig murder. That was on the Health Ranger's website. He was making a big deal about the government going in to kill this guy's pigs, this farmer's pigs, okay, because they were not approved by the government. And what a terrible thing that was. Oh, my goodness, it's awful. Well, let me see who sent this. Somebody named Donna sent me this. It's kind of like the, you know, there's two sides to every story. Well, here is another side to the story. She says, hi, Pastor Mike. After Tuesday's PMO, I checked out the story online about the slaughtered pigs, and here's the scoop. She said, I live about an hour away from Fife Lake where one of the incidents occurred. She said the online story was extremely emotion-filled, and people were writing in with anger about the, quote, murdered baby piglets and their mothers. She writes, I have a friend at church who is an officer for the Michigan DNR, Department of Natural Resources, so I called him. He said these are feral pigs. I don't know if you know what they are. Feral pigs are pigs that have been released into the wild. They become wild. It's really weird how pigs are. But you take pigs and you raise them from a baby in a farm, in a pen. You turn them loose, and in 2 weeks they're growing tusks and long hair. And, I mean, 2 weeks, all it takes is for them to turn wild again. So that's what the word is. She said these are feral pigs who are being raised to be hunted on the farmers' game ranches. Some time ago, one farmer had a dispute with the Department of Natural Resources over his pigs wandering off his property. The pigs are very destructive. My friend told me of an instance where two pigs tore up a 3-by-100-foot area of forest in less than 1 hour. They root for grubs and mushrooms, and if hungry enough, will eat each other, cats, dogs, and tearing them to pieces. And they grow long tusks and are dangerous. Now, that part I know. Wild pigs, if you encounter wild pigs, you shoot first, okay, because they are dangerous. Anyway, this farmer then just let his pigs go in protest of the DNR's attempt at control, and they reproduce quickly. One female has about 36 piglets a year. They also then mated with regular pigs on farms, which passed on their destructive tendencies to their offspring. And this problem is snowballing out of control because there are so many of them on game ranches. The farmers were given numerous warnings and could have sold the pigs to ranches out west, which still allow this, but they chose not to comply. On the outside chance you want to know more, I was given the number of a Department of Natural Racehorses biologist here in Rose Common who is searching this matter, and he would probably be happy to talk with you about it. I don't know him personally. I tried to boil this down, but thought you would like to know. And Donna, I appreciate you sending that information in. That sounds about right. And I will tell you that, like I say, every now and then Alex Jones might put something out there that I can believe. The Health Ranger might put some news story out there that I can say, okay, yeah, okay. But I do think that there sometimes is another side to the story. And so we will see what's up with that. And then, speaking of Alex Jones. Let's see here. I'm going to pull up a video. Now, I am hearing that in, I don't know when it's coming out. There's a new movie. It's the prequel to the Alien saga. Okay? And it's coming out. It's a movie called Prometheus. Now, there is a mythological beast, antichrist, dying god who resurrects, link to this concept of Prometheus. It's one of these myths that Manly Hall talks about in Secret Teachings of All Ages. So that has me curious. There's a movie coming out called Prometheus and so on. And there is a, and several of you have sent me this. Alex Jones did a sort of a synopsis of the trailer. Now, I'm going to play probably about 2 minutes of the Alex Jones synopsis. And Alex Jones reveals to you that he's got a secret inside information. And he's got somebody on the inside that gave him secret information about the movie and the plot. You know how he talks. Alex Jones always has somebody on the inside. And there are some things about this movie that have me interested. The problem is a statement that Alex makes concerning my best friend, okay, which is my King James Bible. I have a problem with what he said, and I'm going to play a portion of the Alex Jones expose on the Prometheus movie. And I want you to listen to what Alex says about the book of Ezekiel and what happens in the book of Ezekiel. I want you to listen now what he says. Here is the Prometheus trailer with the Alex Jones commentary.
Ridley Scott, arguably one of the greatest living directors, is set to release a prequel to his 1979 mega-hit, Alien, Prometheus. One of the most anticipated sci-fi films in recent memory. InfoWars.com research analysis shows Prometheus is not just a film, but a revelation of the method, revealing the deepest secrets of the Illuminati mystery religion. I do have a lot of contacts in the media, as viewers and listeners know, and I have been able to secure a copy of an early script, and it follows very closely from the trailer I've seen and other leaks. And I'm not going to give the entire film away here, but in synopsis, this is a film about the origins of humankind with a super race of near immortal genetic engineers who are contemplating a genetic overwrite or rewrite of the planet Earth when meddling humans stumble in to the magician's laboratory. They are punished for their trespass.
We were so wrong.
The so-called space jockey is the advanced species that have engineered humans back on Earth and produced the bioweapon that we know of as the classical alien that burst out of your chest after feeding on the food in your intestines. The reason we're taking time out to examine Prometheus is because its storyline, its plot, mirrors that of many ancient societies. And the ideas presented in Prometheus are at the core of Western secret societies.
These are ancient civilizations that were separated by centuries, and yet this same pictogram was discovered in every one of them.
Please tell me you can read that.
I think they want us to come and find them.
Across the world, we see evidence of early civilizations' obsession with what they believed were off-world influences. From the Nazca lines in South America to the pyramids of Egypt, we see artifacts, testament to early man's obsession with off-world manipulators. Every ancient culture believed they were communicating with men from the sky. Ezekiel with spinning wheels of fire landing, and creatures with blue space helmets approaching Ezekiel and giving him a drug to take, and then he has wild hallucinations. One could say that Prometheus is simply...
Stop right there! Did you hear what Jones said? Number one, about a super race and an advanced species and secret societies. Yes. And then he's got the nerve to talk about my friend Ezekiel.
Ezekiel, who was visited by creatures with blue space helmets on and was given a hallucinogenic drug.
Did you hear what he said? Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel is not seeing aliens with blue space helmets on. That is the stupidest thing. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 15. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces, the appearance of the wheels, and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and they four had one likeness, and they their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel within, or in the middle of a wheel. And in verse 26, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. And as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud of the day of rain, so was the brightness of the round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard as a voice of one that spoke. Ezekiel was looking at the throne of God, and he saw the glory of God on the throne. Alex, it was not a space alien, you knucklehead. What is wrong with you? You go around telling everybody you're a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. I believe in the Bible. You don't believe in the Bible. If you think that the Bible, I'm just guessing here when I'm going to say this. It seems like Alex Jones falls in the category of some of these other people out there that think the Bible was like the product of the Illuminati. The Illuminati got together and they wrote the Bible and they put their secrets in it. By the way, did you hear what he said about this movie? This movie, or let's say his explanation of this movie,
is revealing the deepest secrets of the Illuminati.
Did you hear that one? And I'm going, oh, no, I don't think so. I think the Bible reveals the deepest secrets. I think God is the one who reveals the deep and the secret things. That's what the Bible says. And I'm just guessing here that A. Jones is one of these people that thinks that the Illuminati worked together to put these secret ingredients in. It's kind of like this idea that Francis Bacon manipulated the Bible and put these secret Illuminati. I've had people ask me over and over, Pastor Mike, is it possible now that King James, you know, put all these little secrets in there? I've heard that. Well, I'm telling you right now, it's not true. And I'm going to tell you why it's not true. If this Bible is nothing more than the work of Satan himself through Francis Bacon or King James or anybody else, then I'm lost. I'm out of here. I am not going to sit here in this place and do the things that I'm doing and try to warn people and live by the Bible. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to walk away from him, and I'm going to go out and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I may die. If this Bible is not the intact, inerrant Word of God, there isn't one. There isn't. It doesn't exist if this Bible's not it. And you want to watch Alex Jones? You be my guest. And then he gets into this saying that Ezekiel was given something, a drug that made him hallucinate. Where in the world did he get that one from? I know that in Ezekiel chapter 3. Well, let's back up. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 9, when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. Now, watch this now. Here is, I almost said Alex Jones, Ezekiel. Here is Ezekiel, and he's seeing the throne of God. He sees God on the throne. He sees the likeness of it and the glory of God and everything like that. And then all of a sudden, a hand's got a book. There's a right hand, and it's got a roll of a book in it. That is exactly what John saw in Revelation chapter 5. That book is the Word of God. And right here, it's showing you the method of transmission. God took his words and put them into the mouths of his prophets. That's how we know the Bible's right. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The very words, Jeremiah opened his mouth, and God put his words in Jeremiah's mouth, and Jeremiah spoke those words. And when the king didn't like it, cut it up with a pit knife and threw it in a fire, Jeremiah said, well, we're just going to have to write them down again, plus a whole lot more now that you've done that. And that's exactly what happened. So here it is, a roll of a book, and this is exactly what John sees. This is exactly what Moses was acting out when he comes down with the Ten Commandments in his hands. He spread it before me, and it was written within and without. That's the same book that John sees in Revelation 5. It was written within and without. That's the same picture that Moses came, when he came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets. They was written on both sides. You know why? They were written on stone. You know why? So you can't take away from them. And number two, they're written on stone and they're on both sides. Why? There's no room to add anything. It's complete. And then verse 1 of chapter 3, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, I always wanted to have a dog named Moreover. Moreover, the dog. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I will give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak my words unto them. Alex, there is something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. If you read this story, and in the wildness of your imagination, or whatever your Hollywood people told you to say, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with this guy. But he reads this story. He's looking at the same thing you and I are looking at, and I'm looking at it, and I get it. You know why I get it? Because I believe it. Jones looks at this thing and says, yeah, they're space aliens with their blue helmets come down and they give Ezekiel something to eat and it gives him hallucinations. You can see why that over the years that I've been doing the Watchmen broadcast, I have not followed hard after Alex Jones. There was just something about him that didn't set right with me. And I don't like to judge a person based upon what they do, the food they got in their refrigerator, the kind of shoes they wear, or whatever. I don't like to judge people like that. I would not want people judging me on the food that I have in my refrigerator or the kind of shoes I wear or whatever. I don't want people judging me for that. And so what I like to do is I like to listen to what they say. And I can tell you that what he said, I think it was Michelle that sent me this, and she's just going, I can't believe that he said this. And if you want to go to Alex Jones' website, be my guest. Okay, might have every now and then there might be a story that's halfway true, but a guy that listened to me, a guy that will say this. That Ezekiel saw blue-helmeted space aliens, and they gave him something to eat, and then he gave him hallucinations. Anybody that would say this about the inerrant, infallible Word of God will lie about anything else. You cannot trust the man to tell the truth. It's as simple as that. I will be looking for this thing called Prometheus. I haven't even seen... What's some of the latest movies come out that everybody... The Hunger Games, I haven't seen that one. And some others. I'm not too much in the mood right now to watch movies, but I might take a look at them just to see what kind of... see what's going on there. Anyway, that's Alex Jones and his... He's going to reveal the deepest secrets of the Illuminati. I wouldn't believe it. Here we go. Look at here. Let's see. Where is my graphic? Aha! Who was it sent me this? Somebody wrote me an email, and I remember doing something a while back on a Watchman broadcast about NASA's new space module. They're subcontracting now. I think that's Richard Branson's company, SpaceX. I think that's his company. And he has designed a new capsule to go up to the heavens, to ascend into the heavens. And the company is called SpaceX. Those of you who know what a chromosome looks like know what that X stands for. And so they invite the astronauts to check out the capsule that's going to ascend into the heavens. It's called the Dragon. Okay, where have we heard that from? Where do we get that from? Okay, it's the Dragon capsule. Now I want you to look at this picture here. The Dragon capsule is designed to carry 7 astronauts. Okay, now I don't know if I'm sprecking your Deutsch just yet. Okay, but I'm looking at this and I'm getting it. I don't think I get it all the way yet, but I think I'm getting it. Did you know that the Columbia? Well, let's go back to the mid '80s. Let's go back to the Challenger, explosion. The Challenger is on its way up with 7 astronauts. 7 astronauts on the Challenger. When Columbia comes back into Earth's atmosphere and the tiles are missing and it burns up, it's carrying 7 astronauts. And they named stars after those astronauts. That's interesting to me. Because in all the mythologies, there is the idea that there are 7 gods or 7 planetary bodies, and they represent the 7 levels of initiation or the 7 planets or the 7 spirits or whatever. I mean, they represent all these things that you think have to do with the number 7. That's what they represent. And so here is, let me pull the picture back up again. Here is the Dragon with 7. Okay, the Dragon with 7. That's an easy way of remembering that. Now, if I were to get out my opened can of King James Bible, I want to go to Revelation chapter 7. And I can tell you right now that rather than sleeping before the broadcast, I should have went to the restroom. Revelation chapter 12. There appeared a great wonder in heaven. By the way, let me help you, okay? Let me help you with studying the Bible. You should believe what it says, okay? And then when it says something, you should actually let the Bible tell you what it means. We know that in the book of Acts and the book of Joel, we have the prophecy in Acts concerning the outpouring. He said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all your flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams." He said in verse 19, "And I will show wonders in heaven above." Okay? And so people are going, well, you know, the Venus and Jupiter kind of like got together by the moon. Maybe that's a wonder. You don't have to wonder what the wonder is. I will show wonders in heaven. Here in Revelation 12, it said there appeared a great wonder in heaven. That's the same. It's the same language. Same language. Okay. So if you're looking for a wonder in heaven, read Revelation 12. There's two of them. There's a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. In verse 3, there's another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having seven heads. Think about it. When the dragon spaceship goes up, how many heads does it have in it? I mean, isn't it simple, but it's neat. It's neat to see this Bible being acted out right in front of our very eyes. The symbolism
that the secrets of the Illuminati
want to keep, the secrets they want to keep secret. They don't want anybody to know what's going on. And I can tell you that NASA, from everything that I could see, has been in the occult symbolism business since its inception, naming all of their spaceships after gods and, you know, Apollo and Mercury and Gemini and Saturn. I mean, all of their ships and stuff like that is named after gods. Okay? So here they're sending the dragon up with seven heads in it. I get it. Let me give you some other imagery from El Scriptura. I don't even know if that's right. I don't spreckens is Spanish. I know that. Or maybe it's Sprechenzi Espanol. But Isaiah 14, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven." I mean, there it is right there. I will ascend into heaven. So we have a dragon ascending into heaven with seven heads. Okay? Now, here's what got me going. Let me pull this back up here. Everybody get out a pencil and a piece of paper or a calculator. Everybody, come on. Calculator. Get a calculator out. I want you to write these numbers down. Okay, are you ready? 4. Write the number 4 down. 30. Write the number 30 down underneath the number 4. And then 12. I want you to write those down and add them up. 30 plus 4. Whoever is on Skype can tune in with it first. Gets a free video from Prophetic Research Ministry. Ah! Way to go, Barb. 4 plus 30 plus 12 is 46. Now, why did I put that? Somebody wrote me. I'm going to tell you something. I think... There you go, Barb. You got it. You got it. I like helping people. I do. I like helping people who can do what I can. They can go through books on symbolism and they can go, yeah, I know what that is. I know what that is. Okay. Or they can watch a movie, or they can see things like that, and they can go, I know what that is. I know exactly what that is, okay? And so somebody wrote in, and they said that the Dragon module is going to ascend into the heavens. NASA is going to launch this thing on April the 30th of this year, 2012. 4-30, that's a date, 4-30-12. Is a date, and that date equals 46. and I want you to think about it, okay? I just want you to ponder that. Because let me show you something else. This is actually a segue into what I'm going to do next. How many of you remember this? Okay, this is yoga. Can I tell you something interesting that I know about this? From the fingers that are on the knees to the top of the head, the body is forming a triangle, or like Manly Hall actually said, it's a pyramid. I've been reading on pyramids, been studying pyramids, and this is someone who is practicing yoga in the church. Okay, this is someone who is going to church, and they're going to the church-sponsored yoga classes. But they're doing it for Jesus. It's yoga for Jesus. Okay, that's who it's for. Yoga for Jesus. And they're forming their body into a pyramid. And at the base of their bottom, at the base of their 33-bone spinal cord, they have a dragon, a serpent, that is in bondage down at the base of the spine. It's being held in prison. It can't rise up. It wants to rise up, but it can't rise up, okay? It wants to rise up and do something for you. It wants to activate something for you, but it can't do it because you're keeping it suppressed. You're not releasing your body's energies to release this thing that's being held in prison. Sounds like it's New Age talk, but it sounds like what you hear from a lot of faith healers. Oh, you've got to release this. This has got to be released. I mean, it's inside of you. It's there, but it's got to be released. And so you say the words, you say with positive energy, and you do all this stuff, and it's released now, and you're going to get this healing. And that's what that is. So here we have the dragon that needs to rise up. And I want you to notice these little symbols here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How many of them are there? 7. You see the 7 heads that's on the beast and the 7 heads that's on the dragon represent the exact opposite of the 7 spirits of God. Okay? The 7 spirits of God, and they are pronounced in Isaiah, what is it, Isaiah 11? That's the 7 spirits of God. And so the serpent needs to rise up through the 7 levels or the 7 layers or 7 this. Or by the way, we have a dish that we bring to picnics and church dinners called 7-layer salad. It is amazing. It's got bacon in it. And anything in the world with American bacon in it it's beautiful. I love it. Anyway, so it's got to rise up through the 7 layers of the salad, okay? The 7 Mithraic rites. Mithras was one of these gods that had these initiation practices. By the way, Gandalf in Lord of the Rings was named after Mithras. He was called Mithrandir. I just happen to know that, okay? But anyway, the dragon is in prison, and he needs to be released, and he's got to go through the 7 chakras of your body, 7 points of your body. I don't do meditation. I don't do yoga. I don't do hypnosis. I don't do, what's the little thing where they drive all the little pins into the needles into you? I don't do that stuff. But that's what the 7 astronauts are doing inside the dragon. They're showing the ascendance of the dragon. By the way, can I tell you something that I just happen to know this? This is just acupuncture. Thank you. It's information that I just happen to know, okay? That the phrase bottomless pit, you can look this up now. Check me out. The phrase bottomless pit is mentioned exactly 7 times in the King James Bible. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen. 1 is and 1 is yet to come. And this Antichrist is of the seven. He is of the seven and is the eighth and goeth into perdition. And so all of these numbers mean something. And somebody sent me an email and they said, Pastor Mike, that dragon is going to be ascended up into the heavens on April 30th of this year, 4/30/12. And they said, that's 46. And I went, I get it. How many words, go to your King James, how many words in Genesis chapter 3 did the dragon, the serpent, speak to Eve? Count them. Okay? You count them. All right, now, but that's not what you're here for. Because I promoted through Twitter and I promoted through Facebook that I was going to be dealing with, I was going to give you a preview of something. Let's see here. Everybody, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your King James Bible out. Everybody got them? Take your King James Bible out. Let me find my notes here. Hang on. Here we go. I am next week. I've already done it. I've already started on it. An hour and 45 minutes, and I just gave up. I had to quit. I was tired. I started a study, an in-depth study. This is probably one of the biggest things that I've ever done on the giants. And here's how it got started. Sunday night before church, a guy gets on Facebook and he's talking about all these lunatics out there and Roman Catholics that believe the sons of God, daughters of men concept. And I was very cordial with the man. I don't look to go get in arguments. It gives me the jitters, and I don't like the jitters. And so anyway, he was going on about that, and I said, well, I'm not Roman Catholic, but I'll tell you what I believe according to Scripture. We had quite a long conversation, and what turned out was every time that I asked him to give me Scripture in support of his idea. His idea was, and somebody else jumped in there too, and they actually said, this is what somebody actually said, everybody knows that according to the Bible, it was the godly lineage of Seth and the pagan women of the world, and they got together. That's what that means. And they said, the Bible says that. And I simply asked a question, can you please show me this Scripture? If you say the Bible says that, can you show me this? Can you point to me in the Scripture where it says this? And I asked several people this in the point of this conversation. Okay, now that you've said this, can you show me in the Scripture what it is that you're saying? And nobody ever did. Nobody ever gave me a Scripture. One person even said, oh, come on, Mike. You know, a majority of Christians don't believe the angels and the human women made it. You know, a majority of the people don't believe that. And I'm going, I don't care. I am not going to be judged in heaven by a majority of Christians. Thank God for that. I only believe what the Word of God says. And so I went to bed Sunday night thinking about that. Monday morning I woke up and I went, I'm going to deal with that. And what started out is just I was just going to simply do some things about the sons of God. And I haven't got to that point yet. I have accumulated, I spent Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday almost nonstop working on notes for this teaching. Now, it is in depth. It is, I don't use, and I'm not going to use. I'm not done with the thing yet. I'm not even done putting the research together. And I assure you, I'm going to make this statement now, which is going to be good. It's going to hold, you're going to hold me to it. Okay, I will not, and it's either going to be two videos or three, and however many it is, I will not quote the book of Enoch. I will not. I might mention it. I might mention that Enoch said, but I will not base any of the findings, the investigation, the teachings on anything other than the King James Bible. I promise. God did not save me and put me in this position to go out and tell everybody to read the book of Enoch. He did not tell me to do that. He saved me. He brought me to this place that I'm at right now I cannot even begin to tell you the miracles that God has done in my life to bring me to this chair right here. I couldn't tell you. what he's done for me. And I guarantee you, he has not raised me up to go brag on the book of Enoch or the book of Jasher or what's in Maccabees or what is. I'm not going to do that. I've got enough. I was just stunned at what I had found in the King James Bible. Okay? And it's been right here all this time. Let me give you an example. You got your Bibles out? Okay? I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 11. Take your King James Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 11. I guess I'll do that too. I've got it up on the screen. That's my cheat notes. But Joshua chapter 11. I just followed the bunny trail of scriptures, and I was just floored at what I saw. Okay? It's all right here, people. It's all right here. Okay? Joshua chapter 11, verse 21. Here's what the Bible says. The King James Bible says this. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains. Now, what the Bible tells you specifically, the King James Bible tells you that the Anakims were giants. That the Anakims had invaded. They were living in the land of Canaan. They were many people. There was who knows how many people, but it was a great, great abundance of Anakims. They were the sons of Anak, and they were giants. They were huge. They were huge people. Okay? Let me just give you an example. If we're to take the Bible literally, okay? I'm just going to say the facts. When the 12 spies went into the promised land, their statement was that we are as grasshoppers in their sight. If that's a ratio, you can imagine how huge these people were, okay? And so anyway, so the Anakims were of the giants. That is scriptural. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities. And in verse 22, it says, there was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. But he didn't stop there. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. Now, we know that Goliath was from Gath. And the Bible mentions that Goliath was from the giant. That would be from Anak. This is you're piecing together the clues here. Joshua ran into the children of Anak, and he killed most of them, but the rest of them fled to Gath, Gaza, and Ashdod. So Goliath was of the descendants of Anak, the giant, and he had four brothers, okay? But it says they ended up in Ashdod. This is interesting. By the way, Gath, Gaza, and Ashdod, they're all Philistines, cities. In fact, I just think that either the Philistines were totally a race of giants, or that the Philistines and the giants cohabitated together. When you thought of Philistines, you thought of giants, because that's who was there. Okay? And let me tell you this, the giants were always in charge. When Moses encountered Og and Sihon the Amorite was a giant. I have scripture to show you. Prove it. I mean, it says the Amorite was a giant, okay? Or the Amorite was as tall as a cedar. When Moses encountered Og and Sihon, they were both kings, okay? That's who they were. And I'm telling you that every place the giants were, they were in charge. When Goliath comes out, and he is... he's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He's with the army of the Philistines. Goliath is not like a corporal, okay? Goliath was in charge. He was the champion. He was the chief. He was in charge. Goliath comes out there and says, here's the deal. Send a guy out to me and fight. If he kills me, my army leaves. If I kill him, I go, hey, guys, and my army comes in here and we stomp you guys. Goliath was in charge. Okay? I want you to think about this. Did you ever think of the idea that the giants had a religion? Think about it. The giants had so pervaded the land of Canaan that is the reason why God sent Israel in, according to the scriptures. The reason why, Deuteronomy 7, the reason why God sent Israel into Canaan land was to flush all those guys out and get them out of that land. Why? Because they were it was full of giants, and when God said, when you go in there, you got to kill them all. Do you know why? Because I don't want you learning their religion. I don't want you building their altars. I don't want your sons marrying their daughters. I don't want your daughters marrying their sons. You're not to intermingle with the giants. That's what he said. When you go in there, I don't want you to learn their religion. The giants had a religion. You know what it was? Number one, the giants worshipped their fathers. Okay? The gods. In 1 Samuel 17, you know what Goliath did to David? He cursed him by his gods. That's what he did. The giants had a religion. The giants built idols. The giants built temples and tabernacles. Are you getting where I'm going with this? Let's skip forward now to, we remember, Joshua chased them into Gath. We know they were in Gath. Joshua chased him into Ashdod. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 5. 1 Samuel chapter 5. You're going to like this, okay? Dun, dun, dun. Conspiracy time here, okay? You're going to like it. Here we go, 1 Samuel chapter 5. The Philistines, who were the Philistines? The Philistines are always connected in the Bible with the giants, always. Okay, always. The Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to where? Where did it take them to? Ashdod. Think about it. The giants were in Ashdod, and they were the rulers there. It was their religion that they were following. Who were they following? They were following, verse 2, when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of who? This guy. And they set it by Dagon. Here you go, Dave. Here you go, Dagon. Here's the Ark that you wanted. Here's the throne that you wanted. We got it for you. That's the Philistines' God. That's the giants' God. That's their God. Here's another rendering of it. It's called Oannes. O-A-N-N-E-S. Google that if you want to. O-A-N-N-E-S. Half human, half Leviathan. You know who the Merovingians were? They were the kings in France. King Merove was supposedly a descendant of Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene. Not... King Merove was a descendant of a Leviathan, literally a devil, a beast, and a human woman. That's who Oannes is. That's their god. Have you seen The Little Mermaid? The Little Mermaid. Her daddy, they were the mermen and the mermaids. Okay? So, the priests of Dagon, are you getting where I'm going here? Some of you already got it. The priests of Dagon, in order to show, listen, look at this now, look at here. The priests of Dagon were showing the hybridization, the fusion of their god with humans. And the priests of Dagon, by the way, it's the priests of Dagon that are mentioned in 1 Samuel chapter 5. They're the ones that when they went into the temple of Dagon and they saw the statue of Dagon, they're the ones picked it back up. And then when it fell again, they decided they're never going to step on the threshold ever again. That was the priests of Dagon. That's who you're looking at right there. You're looking at the priests of Dagon. Dagon is the god of the giants. The religion of Dagon is the religion of the giants. And there they are. Those are the priests of Dagon. And you stop and think about it for a second. The giants worship statues. Do the priests of Dagon here worship statues? The giants' religion was all... Do you know where Og was? He was an Ashtaroth. The giants worshipped the Queen of Heaven. Who worships the Queen of Heaven? The giants, they built temples. They did sacrifices. Who is it that does sacrifices? Every time they have a church service, they do a sacrifice. That's the religion of Dagon. That's the religion of the giants right there. Right there. And that's just an itty bitty 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 piece of some of the things that I have put together. It has been recorded. Lindsay is downstairs right now working feverishly on it. And part one, I mean, I literally did. I got like, and somebody had mentioned pyramids. That's who I think built them. And I think the Bible, the language of the scripture bears that out, and you're going to see that. I literally got to the part of the pyramids, and I started teaching on that, and I saw the time. I try to keep track of time. And I just ran out of gas, and I said, you know what, we're going to pick this up next time. I still have so much information to share with everybody on this subject. And so you pray for me and pray for our ministry. I think this is big. I think it's significant. And I will tell you that I think that a vast majority of Bible doctrine surrounds the idea of the giants and the land. Think about it. Why is it that the Israelites did not want to go into Canaan land when the spies came back? Why did they want to go? There's giants in there. And Paul wrote in Hebrews that for that one reason, I mean, the spies didn't come back and say, look, that land is terrible. There's no way we're going to be able to plant anything on there. It doesn't rain. It stinks. There's nothing there. The fishing's bad. There's no resorts there. I mean, I don't know how you're going to expect us to live. That's not why they didn't want to go in there. Why they didn't want to go in there was only one reason, and that is the giants were there, and 10 guys come back and said, we can't go in there, even though God told them they could. And so it was that Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 3, he said, for this reason, God would not let them enter into his rest. They all died in the wilderness except Joshua and Caleb. And so that's how big this is. And I hope to just get this idea out that I have it as a goal of mine to try to convince people, why would they bypass the King James Bible to look for what's going on? I want to show people that if they just stick with the King James, just stick with the Bible, they can find out what's going on. Let me read some emails. I got about 4 minutes left, 5 minutes left, something like that. Faith, thank you, Pastor Mike, for teaching from the KJV Bible. You're a blessing to us. I look forward to your teaching on the giants. Please, yes, amen. Please be praying for me. Joseph writes in and says, Pastor Mike, Catholicism teaches what you said about Seth and pagan women producing giants and not angels. Reason being, the fact monks would not have an excuse to be celibate if the angels couldn't stay sexually pure. And let me say this, Joseph, that the NIV Bible does not use the word giants one time. It's not there. They replaced it. You know what they replaced it with? It's a word that you will never hear me teach on. Okay? You will never hear me talk about giants and calling them the Nephilim. I don't do that. You know what I call them? Giants. That's what I call them. You know why? Because that's what my authority tells me to call them. The NIV in Genesis chapter 6 says the Nephilim were in the earth in that time. That leaves a big question mark. Who are the Nephilim? You know what they're trying to do? You know what? I think they're trying to cover it up. I think the NIV refuses. And every other place where it says giants, the underlying Hebrew word there is Rephaim. So the NIV just simply pulls out this little Hebrew word, Rephaim, and says that he was of the Anak was of the Rephaim. That's not telling you anything. It's not revealing to you what you'll get out of the King James. The Bible that you ought to see. I didn't even get to what made me jump out of my chair this week about the language of the King James Bible and how it connects all the dots with all these Hebrew words. It stunned me when I saw it. I didn't even get to that today. That's probably next week. But the NIV refuses to call them giants. It refuses to do it. That stinks to me. That smells like something. Okay? Let's see here. Shirley and Delbert, how y'all doing? I've heard that our word ogre comes from Og. Hey, somebody look that up. Go to Etymology Online. Etymology Online, and somebody look that up for me. I love etymology. I'd like to find out where words came from. That, to me, is just fascinating, because I'm one of these, I believe that God wrote all the languages. I do. That is, I appreciate that. You know what? If that's true, that's going to, Shirley and Delbert, that is going to show up in the next Watchman broadcast, all right? Kevin says, what about the prevalence of similar religions, rituals, and monuments, pyramids around the globe, Pastor Mike? Could they not be related? How about similar-looking modern... Kevin, you're right. You're dead on, and that's where I was going today when I just ran out of gas. And I will pick it up next week. But there's pyramids everywhere. And I'm talking ancient pyramids everywhere. Rick and Ruth, how y'all doing? Good day, eh? Would Oannes be the same as the Vaticanus, since the Dagon priests are in the Vatican? Could be. Also in 1 Samuel 13, and Ruth, you point out a very interesting thing I saw this years ago. Was there a connection with the Philistines making iron weapons and Israelites not having a smith to sharpen weapons? So that the army didn't have iron weapons except Saul and Jonathan. Did you know, and that is a good point, did you know, according to 1 Samuel 13, the Philistines were such in charge, like the New World Order, they were in such in charge that they would not allow the Israelites to have a blacksmith in and among them. Okay? They would not allow a blacksmith. You know why? They did not want the Israelites to have weapons. You think about this. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal. They're this Bible right here. That's our weapons of warfare. And I want to tell you something. The priests of Dagon are still trying to take away our weapons from us. That is an outstanding analogy, Ruth, and I appreciate you writing that in. Lorian. Writes, ogre, a man-eating giant. Holger, in a translation, that's almost like hoggard. That's scary. In fact, let me tell you a funny little story. A guy named Al Neal, he was a Privacy Club speaker back in the 90s. I don't know. I don't want to say anything, but I sent him a manuscript of the King James Code. I thought he'd really like it because it dealt with codes and numbers and stuff like that, and he was into that. And he didn't want to read it. Because he said, your name is Hoggard, and you have the word Og in your last name. I think you're a giant. That's what he said. But anyway, here it is. It's an ogre, a French monster from Orcus or something like that. I have somebody sneaking up on behind me here. Gary's got it right here. Thank you, Gary. Take a breath, Gary. All right. Anyway, yeah, Etymology Online. That's exactly what was brought here. That is, if somebody can find me information that Og and ogre are kind of the same word, I would love to hear that, all right? Let's see, who else is going to bother me here? Somebody is sending me a link. I don't have time to get to a link right now. John from Georgia, Dragon Module powered by Super Draco Engines. Draconian comes from the root Draco. Yes, good one here. Somebody sent me an email that's like this long. Okay? I can't read that. Don't have time. Deborah Cleveland writes in. Dixie. How you doing, Dixie? Writes in 9 cubits by 4. The bed, I did the math, the bed of Og was made of iron. See, it's like giants and iron are all, think about it. Okay? The bed of Og was 13 and a half feet long by 6 feet wide. He was not just skinny and tall. He was big and tall. He was a blob. He was a great big giant blob. All right? Any number of things can happen between now and the time this video gets edited. So please pray for Lindsay and pray for me. I'm going to continue the study, and I'm going to record the next part as soon as I can and get it out there to you. Don't want you to miss it. Be praying for us. Tell everybody. Man, I got this teaching. In fact, watch it first. And if you like it, share it with people. All right? I'm going to go talk to my wife. She's calling my cell phone right now. Okay? That's her right there. I missed a call. So I'm going to go call my wife. I love you guys, but I love her more. All right? We'll talk to you later. Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps.